ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः। ॐ
ॐ मे ब्रह्मन् प्रोटेक्ट अस बोथ। May Brahman bestow upon us both the fruit of knowledge. May we both obtain the energy to acquire knowledge. May what we both study reveal the truth. May we cherish no ill feeling toward each other. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all.
In our last class, we were discussing some of the special contemplations, upasanas on Akasha. Akasha is the best support as far as we are concerned. There is a close relationship between the space Akasha and Atman or Brahman. Every time we have to remind ourselves of it. What are the common features between Akasha, space and Brahman? Both are invisible. Amurta. Both are non-pollutable. Both are non-divisible. Both are ekam, one without a second. Both are all-pervading. Both are supporting all, sarva-adharam. Both are sukshma-ati-sukshma, subtler than the subtlest. Non-comprehensible, not to speak of the body, even to the mind also. That's why it is said, yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasa saha. Therefore, if we can train our mind slowly, of course, to meditate upon space, our mind will get refined enough, then it becomes fit. What does this upasana yield? That is, contemplating upon Akasha as Brahman, nearest to Brahman. What result do we get? That I do not exist. And when I do not exist, the whole universe also vanishes with me. Not to speak of nirvikalpa samadhi. Even when we are in deep sleep, a whole world disappears along with the disappearance of our mind. So that is the meaning of chitta vritti nirodha. When we purify our minds of every dross, then it becomes as pure as the purest, newest mirror. And what reflects there is pure consciousness called Purusha. Tada drashtu swarupe avasthanam. So, Akasha Upasana takes us nearer to Brahman. And Brahman is only one step higher to Akasha. And therefore, this Bhrigu Palli in the Taittiriya Upanishad wants to give a group of Akasha Upasanas. We have seen you contemplate the space Akasha as all-pervading, Mahat as the greatest, then Manaha, the subtlest of the intellects, then Namaha, that is you bow down to the will of God. That is called bowing down to everybody. Actually, one can bow down to everybody only when one sees the true Brahman in within everybody. So then, as a result, the Upanishad adds, every desire will be completely fulfilled. So, we have come to one particular meditation which I wanted to discuss. And we stopped there in our last class. What is that upasana? Akasha should be contemplated as Brahmanaha Parimara iti upasita. Parimara means destruction. So the space should be contemplated as the final merging place. We are already familiar, the Atman manifests first as the Akasha, space, then air, then fire, then water, then earth. And the same process will be reversed back. So what happens to the earth? It goes back. Or rather, if I die, what happens? Not only I mean the body, entire personality consisting of body, mind are three bodies. The gross body, the subtle body, the causal body, every body merges back into earth. Earth merges back into waters. Waters into fire, fire into air, air into space. Of course, when a person reaches that level of spiritual progress, then that person finally will be pulled back irresistibly, like a huge magnet. As soon as the iron particle, any metal particle, approaches near, but it must be pure, then there is no obstruction for the magnet to pull itself into itself, makes it itself. Even the small iron particle becomes part of the huge magnet. That is the idea one wants to convey finally, but the Upanishad puts it in a very, very peculiar way. What is the peculiar way? He says that Brahmanaha Parimara. Parimara means destruction. As the mantra goes here, there are people in this world, no saint will ever think anyone is an enemy to me. But there are people who do not like saints, especially saints. And saints, excepting in Hinduism, have been tortured, had been killed. Whether you take Christianity, how they used to beat up Saint John of the Cross, how many difficulties Saint Teresa of Avila had to go through. Every saint has to go through. And of course, when you come to Islam, and you will see how many people have been beheaded, burnt, tortured and burnt, all in the name of religion, just because they realized, Aham Brahmasmi, I am Allah. So there's so many stories are there like that. But I want to make it a bit lighter by recollecting a beautiful incident from the life of Saint Teresa of Avila. She never enjoyed perfectly good health throughout her life. And she became converted. She surrendered herself totally to God. Her attitude is Sakhi Bhava. I am your friend. And Christ told her, commanded her rather, that you reconstruct my church, reform my church. So much of corruption, practically in every institution, because institution means organization. Organization means power structure. Power structure means greed. And so many people will be drawn. And so organization, as Swami Vivekananda used to joke towards the end of his life, an organization is the most terrible enemy of Mahamaya. Because Mahamaya gives to test, the final test of any spirituality is organization. Because as soon as there are different opportunities, social opportunities, what they call social climbing, so right beginning from a ordinary worker, a manager, head of a center, to trustee, assistant secretary, etc., etc. Very fascinating study of the history is there. So, there are so many people who were very good at the beginning, but slowly the Mahamaya draws them to power. Power comes through position, and so much of struggle is there. And nobody wants to hear the truth about it. Whenever somebody tries to lead a pure life, immediately many people recognize it and they start becoming popular, famous, and that becomes intolerable to the people in the organization. Rare exceptions are there. That's a different story. Only I just want to mention, there was one great soul. He's called Brother Lawrence. His teachings, the practice of the presence of God, had become immensely popular. So once a bishop had come to visit him. Not only Brother Lawrence was practically illiterate, he was also lame. He also did not possess much intelligence, but he was totally dedicated to God. He used to practice the presence of God and he used to pray, "Lord, you know what I am. So they are sending me to do this job. I don't know how to do it. You please take care of me." And that is how slowly he used to successfully complete the transactions more than even the most intelligent person, all because he was following the will of God by complete surrender to God. Fortunately, a bishop had come and he was a great bishop, pure, and he thought, "Let me test this child." And he came, spent, and then he was so attracted, and many times he visited, and then he got some letters also, and that is what we are enjoying today, the practice of the presence of God. But in the case of Saint John of the Cross, the people imprisoned him, used to beat him, and only after several months of such beating, then God showed him a way out. Coming back to Saint Teresa of Avila, she used to cherish the attitude, the relationship of friend. She used to say, "I am the friend of Jesus," with complete surrender, of course. So Christ commanded her, "You rebuild the church, my church," that is, to re-establish the original spiritual principles whereby an organization stands as a representation of God, but on earth. She had tremendous difficulty because the churches were so corrupt, so much rolling in luxury, that it became a terrible blow to them. So they became inimical, and that is causing already to the trouble Saint Teresa was having. Then one day she complained, "Lord, you only commanded me. Why are you treating me in this way?" And as if innocently, Jesus replied, "That is how I treat my friends." And quick as a flash came the retort, "Now I know why you have so few friends. Which friend is going to be friendly with you if you are going to treat people like that?" Anyway, all this I am telling, organizations are one of the greatest temptations to test the true intent, and it is also an obstacle race, and we have to get out of that. So the people, saints, they do not have any enemies. They do not never consider. A saint considering that there is somebody who is an enemy is no saint. Why? Because he sees only God in everywhere. Brahman in everybody. Ramakrishna's beautiful story. "Who is giving you milk?" And immediately the monk replied, "He who has bet me, he alone is giving me milk." Again, sarvatra atma darshanam. Everywhere he sees the hand of God only, and he accepts gladly whatever comes. Never blamed. Shudhiram never blamed the Jamindar. We blame the Jamindar. And we wish his 7 generations before and 7 generations. That means even now if there are people, they let them mug in hell. But Shudhiram totally depended upon Rama. It is Rama's will which brought about this condition. Let Rama decide what he wants to do. Rama's will. That is the test of saintliness. So why am I talking so much about these things? Because a person who contemplates Akasha as the destroyer, Brahmanaha Parimaraha, the destructive power of Brahman, we can misunderstand. There could be two types of enemies. What is that? Some people, all of us, we don't like some people, and some people also don't like me. We like some people also like me. But this is the story of an ordinary person. But the story of an extraordinary person is totally different. Saint, he will never consider anybody as inimical. But there are people who consider some of the saints as inimical. The family priest of Madhur Babu Fakir had kicked Sri Ramakrishna several times and injured him. But Sri Ramakrishna never raised the topic. So, we have to understand properly, what does this Akasha Upasana do? It, just like a mother who has several children, and a true mother will have equal love, right from a newborn baby to the grown-up child, son or daughter, equal or love will be equal to everybody. Love will never diminish by distributing. So, a knower of Brahman, a contemplator of Brahman, cannot also make this person is my friend, this person is my fan, this person is my enemy, is trying to pull me down. No, it is the Divine Mother. If you still remember the story of Rabia, once then some people reported to her that such and such people are criticizing you, they are enemies of you. She replied, because she was not taking any action to protect herself. She said, I am so much absorbed in the contemplation of God, I have no time to find who is wishing me well and who wishes me to be in the well. So we have to understand this beautiful concept. So this upasana, what does it do? The whole universe is my creation and they are all my children. Living, non-living, everything is my children and I have to protect. In this context, we have to understand a little better. Does a saint or let us say Brahman neglect rivers, mountains, forests? Of course, from the Hindu point of view, river is a living goddess. Forests are living goddess. That's why we call it Vanadevata, forest goddess. And every bit of water flowing, whether it is flowing or not flowing, whether it is in a mud puddle or whether it is in a lake or in the ocean, it is all manifestation of Brahman's fourth manifestation in the form of the waters. Every particle of the earth is Prithvi Devata. So, this is how a spiritual person's vision, identifying more and more with the vision of Brahman, he will be saying, the whole universe has come from me. So, everything is me only. So, a person looks upon everything as one's own self. Where is the question of having friends or enemies or anybody? That is not possible. So, that is how we have to understand. So, this is the last upasana, Akasha upasana. Tad brahmanaha parimaraha iti upasita. So, the spiritual aspirant should contemplate anakasha as what? Brahmanaha parimaraha, the destructive power of Brahman. Akasha is the destructive power of Brahman. Thus, one should contemplate taking the Akasha as the support. Then, what is the purpose of this one? The spiritual meaning we have already discussed, that everything in this world goes back to earth, which goes back to waters, which goes to fire, air, and finally ends up in Akasha. That is the truth. And again it will emerge, re-emerge. That is why Srishti is called beginningless, anadi. And then the Upanishad also goes to say, Pariyenam riyante vishantaha sapatmaha pariye apriyaha bhratruvyaha. So, let a spiritual aspirant contemplate Brahman and the destructive agent and all his enemies who hate him, also those who do not hate him will perish. It means the very feeling of enmity will be wiped off the mind of the spiritual aspirant. So, parimaraha means destruction. Parimriyante, sarvam, everybody connected with him, everybody. And who is not, who is excluded? No one is excluded. Everybody is the same. Everything is Brahman only. Sarvatra Brahma Darshanam. So what does it mean? It means, according to him, actually there is no second object. Ekam Eva. I am that one. So, that is how we have to understand. All the feeling of enmity would disappear. If you still remember, Holy Mother's sincerest prayer, looking at the moon, even in the moon, we can detect some dark spots. Holy Mother had prayed, Oh Mother, even in the moon, there are some spots. Let there be no spot in me. That is the prayer of Holy Mother. And we know, once when she was in Jairambati, then some of her relatives wanted to buy some cloth produced by English people, because it looks nice, better, much smoother than the coarse cloth produced by Indian charkha. But Holy Mother probably wanted to send some of one of his her attendants to buy. But he was overcome with emotion. Why should we purchase foreign goods? Because he is full of Gandhi's ideal. We must spin our own cloth. We must encourage people. Then we can destroy this foreign products. Then Holy Mother said, in that connection, beautiful saying, after all, they are also my children. There is no our and other people. Every country is my country. Every person is my child. Everything in this world, including a cat. If you remember, one of her attendants mistreated a cat. And then Holy Mother said, simply, she did not scold him, my son, I live also in that cat, and which made him consider not only that cat, every animal, as Holy Mother herself. So, he used to beg for milk, even for fish, to feed that particular cat. That became his spiritual renaissance. We have to understand that way. So, this meditation, Anakasha, it destroys. Parimara means the destructive power. In spiritual sense, that means all the inimical feeling that we cherish in our hearts will be destroyed, because I become as expansive as the Akasha space, which covers up everything, which is nothing but my own manifestation gradually in the process of the five elements. We have to keep that in mind. And to conquer this one, that is the most important thing. In Bhagavad Gita we see, samakshatra uchamitrecha tatha manapa manayohu sitoshna sukha dukkheshu samaha sanga vivarjitaha tulyan indastutir mauni santushto yenakena chit aniketah stiramati bhakti manme priyonara. In the 12th chapter, which has got only 20 verses, this Bhagavan is trying to say, this person who has these particular qualities alone is to be considered as my real devotee. Yes, whether he is approaching this spiritual aspirant with respect or with enmity, whether he mistreats him, disrespects him, abuses him, whether it is hot or cold, whether it is happiness or unhappiness, everything is treated with an equal sight. So, a prostitute had to teach, a public woman had to teach this lesson to Swami Vivekananda, Prabhu Mere Avaguna Chittanadharo, O Lord, please do not take into consideration my defects. Samadarashi Hai Nama Tiharo. Your name is equal sighted. You don't say this person is a sinner, this person is a great devotee. No. But all the suffering that comes to a person who leads an what is called unrighteous life, adharmic life, is a correction, and that is a grace of God. Only God wants to wash him off, and sometimes that washing may be painful also. Tulya ninda stuti mauni. So whether somebody blames him, somebody praises him, santushto yena kenichit, whatever comes, he is more than happy. Aniketaha. There is no fixed place. Every place is a temple for him. Sthiramatihi. Bhaktiman me priyo naraha. Such a devotee, such a devotion, alone is to be cherished, to be developed, then only he will become fit to be called my devotee, and I will take care of that person. So, there will be enemies, vishantaha sapatnaha bhratruvyaha. So, relative, it may be relatives, it may be cousins, it may be long distance relatives, it may be from different religions, different races, different countries, but a spirit for a, in the eyes of a saint, everyone is absolutely the same. So sometimes even the power of the saint works out that that person can change. Even a person who is cherishing negative feelings towards the saint. That is why there is a beautiful hymn called Dhanyashtakam. Sampurnam Jagadeva Nandanavaram Sarvepi Kalpadrumah. Imagine a beautiful garden and it is called Nandanavana. The moment you behold it, your heart is filled with unspeakable bliss, unimaginable bliss. And there, what type of garden is that? Every plant, sarvepi, kalpadrumah, kalpavrikshas. That means whatever desires you have, even the smallest plant in that Nandanavana is capable of bestowing upon you the highest bliss. You don't need many. Even if one wish-fulfilling tree is beheld, it will fulfill all the desires forever, not to speak of a huge, beautiful garden. Adveshta sarvabhutana maitraha karuna evacha. Bhagavad Gita is after all the essence of all the Upanishads. So we have to understand that in this manner. So what is the upasana? You consider akasha as the destructive power, that means which destroys all the obstacles in the path of a spiritual aspirant and makes him as expansive as the support, like the space. So such a person, he can give shelter to everybody and anybody. Now with this, we have seen adhyatmika upasanas. Upasanas, contemplations, considering every limb of our body, every part of our mind as Brahman. Ultimately, that is the result. And we have seen that every, all of us connected through the power of the unity of the presiding deity. For example, all the powers of seeing through our eyes. We are all connected through the sun god. But the sun god himself is only one particular manifestation of Hiranyagarbha. So this person, these are called Adi Daivika Upasanani. And then we have seen Akasha Upasanani, the third upasana, where here Akasha means what? Saguna Brahma. Saguna Brahma Upasana, where the person will become the absolutely fittest person to receive the final knowledge by the grace of the Divine Mother only. Because these are all manifestations of the Divine Mother. Saguna Brahma is addressed by Sri Ramakrishna as Shakti. And if you think that realization of Brahman is another step, that would be wrong. As soon as a person knows, I am the Saguna Brahma, automatically he will understand, I am also the Nirguna Brahma, which is expressed as Aham Brahmasmi. So that is being, will be the result. If we do these, all these contemplations that have been inculcated here, then what is the result? A person will reach the acme of spiritual progress. And then he realizes, I am Hiranyagarbha. In that sense also, Aham Brahmasmi. But once a person realizes that, there is nothing more for him to do, because after reaching identity with Saguna Brahma, there is no need to say that I have one more step to take. So that is being indicated now, that it is reminding all these upasanas are only slowly purifying ourselves. Purifying ourselves means removing all the limitations within ourselves and becoming identified with the larger whole, until we become identified with this first manifestation, which is called Akasha in one sense. It is called Saguna Brahma in another sense. So that Saguna Brahma, once a person automatically attains. Don't think, I am going to obtain Saguna Brahma. I am Saguna Brahma, but my ignorance doesn't make me understand. What is this ignorance? Feeling of limitation. I am limited in body, mind, etc. All these upasanas remove the limitations. They don't give positive result, because it is just like cleaning a mirror. The more we clean the mirror, the better would be the reflection. So that is why Brahman need not be attained, because we are already Brahman. But we think we are not Brahman. And through the spiritual practices, especially upasanas, we realize that we are Brahman. And same contemplations we have to understand in the form of modern, even today, in this 21st century, 2026, whenever you think Sri Ramakrishna, for example, Rama or Krishna or Sri Ramakrishna, then you will have to understand he is Brahman, he is Ananda Swarupa, he is one without a second, and he is all-pervading, he is all-supporting. Only slight format has changed, but the process is exactly the same. So the terminology has changed. I want to contemplate the space. Instead of that, what we say is, I want to contemplate on Ramakrishna. We substituted the word Akasha with the word Ramakrishna or Krishna or all this. Now, that is being indicated in the next mantra. What is this mantra? Sayascha ayam purushe, yascha asau adityaye, sayekaha. We have seen this earlier also. That purusha who is inside the man, and the same purusha who is also in the underson, both are one. So this is the result of upasana. Always keep in mind, upasana means what? We approach nearer and nearer to Saguna Brahma, and finally there would be no separation. Then the person feels, I am Saguna Brahma. So there is absolute, this is possible only because if it is a fact, supposing I do not know, somebody taught me, you and the sun are the consciousness in you, and the consciousness in the sun god is one and the same. But the fact is the consciousness is separate and your consciousness is separate. everyone's consciousness is separate. If that is the fact, any number of contemplations else is not going to make us one with the Sun God. If difference is a fact, it will remain. But if difference is only a figment of my imagination, through these contemplations, I destroy that wrong notion. And then I don't get anything, but what was there, that will be revealed. So it is only to manifest our divinity by removing all the obstacles, by following the four paths of Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Raja Yoga, and Jnana Yoga. So that is being said, that actually the being, the consciousness in you, and the consciousness in the Sun God, one and the same. By this, we also have to understand, I feel difference between myself and everybody, everything, but the Sun God itself doesn't feel, because the whole creation is nothing but only the Sun God, or even Akasha Devata, you can say. So as soon as I understand consciousness is one, ekameva dvitiyam, then my understanding that I am different from everything else, that also becomes completely eradicated, destroyed. That is the power of Akasha. That ajnana, ignorance, will be destroyed. That is what the Upanishad wants to tell us, this particular fact. Jivatma, Paramatma, individual soul and the cosmic self is absolutely one and the same. And who is this? Surya Devata, Sun God, Sat Chit Ananda. So what does the contemplator become? Sat Chit Ananda. So the Ananda means limited happiness we get. Limited because of my identity or the instrument, which is a limited instrument. When I remove the instrument, I realize that Ananda is actually my own Ananda, being reflected in a mirror, like our face is reflected in the mirror, is reflecting in a suite, in a house, in money, and in everything else. When this limitation is removed, then I don't see any difference between myself. There is no other self excepting myself. Then what happens? That person who contemplates on this Akasha and go through all these steps, that is Adhyatmika, Adibhautika, Adidaivika, and that person, he realizes, Aham Brahma Asmi. Then what does he gain? What does not he gain? There would be no desires left out. That is said, Sa Evamvit, one who knows Aham Brahma Asmi. What happens to him? It is described in an imaginary form, only graphically imagined for our understanding, but the movement takes place almost unconsciously. Sa yaha evam vit. He who understands, what does he understand? That there is no separate being called Brahman. I am Brahman. All this while I am thinking that Brahman is somewhere there, but now I understand there is no separate Brahman. I am that Brahman. Then what happens? A beautiful graphic description. So what happens? Asmat lokat pretya. He who knows that I am Brahman, as described above, after dying to the world, that means after the death of ignorance, after withdrawing from this world, attains that true self through stages, panchakoshas. How does the Upanishad say? Etam annamayam atmanam upasankramya. Etam pranamayam atmanam upasankramya. Etam manomayam atmanam upasankramya. Etam vijnanamayam atmanam upasankramya. Etam anandamayam atmanam upasankramya. So, what happens? First of all, as we have discussed umpteen number of times, when this contemplator understands, I am Anna Brahma, I am Virat Brahma. That is, until then the person thinks, I am this individual body separate from everything else. This contemplation removes all limitations, separations from everything else. From the grossest physical point of view, he says, I am this entire creation in the grossest form. So, I expand myself to identify myself with everything. Then he says that this is not the final goal. And he looks and says, this is an effect. Annamaya kosha is an effect of pranamaya kosha. And pranamaya kosha is an effect of manomaya kosha. Manomaya kosha is an effect of vijnanamaya kosha. Vijnanamaya kosha is an effect of anandamaya kosha. And anandamaya kosha is the manifestation of anandam, brahma, atma. So that is being described graphically. He rises above that feeling, I am the annamaya atma. That means he says, I am the entire annamaya kosha. I am the entire pranamaya kosha. This is not giving up. This is including, expanding. Annamaya. I am not only annamaya, I am pranamaya, manomaya, vijnanamaya, anandamaya, and then I am really divisionless, ekam, eva, advitiyam. And an important point we have to understand, this portion, which portion, etamannamaya mahatmanam upasankramya. He is bodily lifted from the second chapter called Brahmanandavalli with one small difference in word. So, etam annamaya mahatmanam upasankramati. Sankramati is the word used in the second chapter. Sankramya is the word used here. The meaning is exactly the same. So, what does it mean? A person who knows I am Brahman, he includes all the manifestations, that is called Saguna Brahma, and of course, he knows I am also Nirguna Brahma. So, having realized this oneness, he enjoys this world and anandam, anandam, anandam. Only bliss and bliss and is bliss. So, having realized this oneness, he eats what food he likes, assumes what form he desires. He is no longer limited by the any scriptural injunctions regarding food, drink or conduct of life. Very marvelous description of the knowledge of Brahman. So he eats everything. How does he eat? He had acquired a huge mouth or what? No. Anybody eats, he is eating. Anybody is seeing, he is seeing. Anybody is hearing, he is hearing. Even an insect hears, he is hearing. There is no distinction. Everything is Brahman. So, he attains that oneness with all. From Brahma to the blade of grass, he finds satisfaction in the thought that every movement of any creature whatsoever is his own movement. In other words, he identifies himself with the entire creation. So, after going beyond this, this is the finest realization. What does the knower of Brahman do? In fact, he doesn't do anything. But to motivate us, to inspire us, so that we aspire for Brahmajnana, Upanishad wants to put up a small advertisement. If you subscribe to our channel, then you will get these benefits. Imam Lokan Kamani Kama Rupi Anusancharan. Etat Samagayan Aste. Hau. So, then he goes up and down these worlds, eating the food he desires, assuming the forms he likes. He sits, singing the chant of the non-duality of Brahman. Ah means what? Once Ramakrishna said, somebody from a small village, which is far away from the sea, happened to visit that place, saw the ocean, came back, and the villagers asked him. He said, in the form of description, Ah means what? Asya rivat pashyati kasyadet itam. as it is the greatest wonder. How can I describe? How can a frog that is born, brought up, grew up in a narrow well, how can it understand what is called the ocean? This is the most beautiful story quoted by Swamiji at the Chicago Parliament of Religions. We are all like frogs in the well, thinking that what we know is the limit of knowledge. Beautiful thoughts. We will talk. There are a few things are there. We will talk about them in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagat Gurum Padapadme Tayoh Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Sri Ram Krishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.